Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Proverbs, chapter 4. We'll read verses 3 through 7 together. We'll read this passage responsively. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Let's finish on verse 7 together. Ready? Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. Lord, we've heard your people sing praises back to you. We've built our lives around this place, and oh, it's quite a busy place, and we're so thankful that your presence is here. Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for those that were saved and baptized today and eternities that were changed. And Father, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people here tonight are needy. Never again in history will this exact group be assembled this way. Father, you have a specific truth for tonight. Now, please, may we get it from you the way you want it from our preacher, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
If you're a visitor, those are my family members, and I'm not hurt at all that I was not invited to sing with them. Let's get into the sermon right away. Are you the kind of person that things just don't turn out right for you? You go from problem to problem in life. We might joke and say you're an accident looking for a place to happen. You know, it may not be what's in your life that's causing you difficulties, but it may be what's not in your life. What's missing? What in the world is missing in your life that you go from problem to problem to problem? Life has been or is harder on you, seemingly, than others. Why must you face the boss over hardships continuously? Why is it that constantly you're in the principal's office? What is it? What is it about you that every time you turn around there's conflict with leadership? How much of it is a self-inflicted confusion that you face? I really believe this. I believe that there are a few people here tonight that desperately need what I'm about to teach. Though all of us need what I'm about to teach, there are a few that need it in a desperate way. There are a few people in here that I believe that if you don't catch on to what I'm going to teach tonight and make it a purpose in your life, you will self-destruct far in advance to when that you should. Well, honestly, if some of you don't get it, I think you're going to end up in a grave early. Because how much of a beating can you take? How long can you go on going from problem to problem to problem in life? Now, all of us are going to have some problems in life, but I do not believe that a Christian's life is total chaos all the time. In the passage of Scripture that we read this evening, we discussed, or you see discussed, a very important subject, a very important matter, something that all Christians need. The Bible says this, For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Now this is what's happening. A young man is saying, Let me tell you some things that my daddy taught me. He goes on to say, Let my heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth, forsake her not. And what's happening here is the thing called wisdom is being personified. When he says, forsake her not, God is saying, you got to get this thing called wisdom, and don't forsake her, don't forsake wisdom. And she shall preserve thee, wisdom shall preserve thee, saying, love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Solomon, who is the wisest man that ever walked the face of this earth other than Jesus Christ, is speaking here in Proverbs chapter 4. He's saying, let me tell you some things that my dad told me. There's some things that I was just told of. It's got to happen. My dad said you need to get wisdom. Now that's the subject of tonight. those of you that go from chaotic situation to chaotic situation and you never get things quite straightened out in your life, and life is constantly confusing and you're always in trouble and you're always messed up and things never just go right. There's something you need. See, what is that? You need wisdom. You've got to get the wisdom of God in your life. This young man says, my dad said I need to get wisdom. He said get wisdom. He didn't say get high. He said get wisdom. He didn't say get famous. He said get wisdom. He didn't say get powerful. He said get wisdom. He didn't say get rich. He said get wisdom. He did not say get ahead. He said get wisdom. He didn't say get physically strong. He didn't say go get buff. That's buff, not fluff, Brother Gillen. Go get buff. That's not what he said. He said, get wisdom. Get wisdom. He said, and then my dad said, then don't forsake it. You know what breaks my heart? There are people that desperately need what I'm about to say. They're not here tonight. They're not here tonight. Their lives will continue in chaos because they're not in church to hear the importance of this thing called wisdom. Wisdom. He said, my dad said, get wisdom. And then dad said, don't forsake wisdom. Don't leave it behind. Don't leave it out of your life. He said, dad said that wisdom shall preserve thee. Preserve what? You want to preserve your marriage? Get wisdom. You want to preserve your purity? Get wisdom. You want to preserve the ministry that God's given you in life, and I'm not just talking about the pastors, assistant pastors, missionaries in this room. I'm talking about every one of you have a ministry in life, whether you like it or not. You might not be doing anything about it. Your ministry might be laying idle because you're too busy in the world, but you have a ministry. Everybody here, every single person, every last born-again Christian here, there's a ministry you're supposed to be having right now in this church for God. If you're not, it's your problem. God's being hurt, and so are others. But if you'd like to preserve your ministry, you better get wisdom. He said, wisdom shall preserve thee. How would you like to preserve your mind? Do you know something? You'll never meet someone that is full of wisdom in an insane asylum.
Right.
Never. Wise people don't go crazy. He said, I feel like I'm going crazy. I'll tell you what you need. Wisdom. Wisdom. He said, my dad said, wisdom shall preserve thee. My dad said, wisdom shall keep thee, it says here in Proverbs 4. Keep you what? Keep you faithful. Keep you what? Keep you joyful. Keep you what? Keep you productive in your Christian life. Keep you what? Keep you spiritually straight. My, oh my. This thing called wisdom, it sounds like it's pretty important. He said, my dad said, get wisdom. And once you get it, don't forsake it. Why? My dad said, wisdom shall preserve thee. My dad said, wisdom shall keep thee. My dad said, you're supposed to love wisdom. Do you love wisdom, folks? Do you love wisdom? You know, if you love something, you'll seek it. You will seek it. I was recently, I'd flown out of state to go and preach, and they had rented me a car, so I had a way to get around, and man here in the church makes available to me some coupons for Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm a tightwad, I don't like to buy it if I don't have to, so I carry some of those coupons with me. I was out of state, 1,000 miles away from here. I got in that car, and I wanted a cup of coffee, but I wanted Dunkin' Donuts coffee. And I'm telling you, I looked for it, and I drove and drove. I probably spent $10 in gas looking for that cup of $1.27 cup of coffee so I could use my coupon. But I wanted Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Why? I love Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Let me ask you a question. Do you love wisdom?
Yes, sir. Good.
How far? I was thinking Tim. This morning, Tim introduced Casey, and I asked Tim, how far do you drive to come to this church? Can you imagine how many churches he bypasses driving 3 hours to come to this church? He's joined this church on purpose. I guess that young man's seeking something. He must be seeking something. You see, if you love something, you'll seek it. If you love something, you'll do what it takes to get it. If you love something, you treat it as precious. Do you love wisdom? Do you seek wisdom? Do you treat wisdom as something precious? Then this young man says, well, my dad said wisdom is the principal thing. What does that mean? Wisdom is the center of the bullseye. Wisdom is the most necessary part of the machine. It's the engine, not a little piece of trim. Wisdom is the main course of a 7-course meal. Wisdom's the meat. It's not the bread. It's not the dessert. What's that big old chunk of meat? That's what wisdom is. Wisdom's the bullseye. Wisdom's the engine that makes things go around. Wisdom, hey, if wisdom were body parts, it would be the heart, not the toenail. Wisdom's big. We're to love it. We're not to forsake it. It'll preserve us. It's the principal thing. You say, Brother Owens, what is wisdom? I think the best definition, let me make a few statements about this thing called wisdom. Wisdom is having insight into life and the things of God. Wisdom is seeing life through the eyes of God. Seeing things from God's perspective. Boy, it's a wonderful thing when someone can take the Bible and as they teach it or preach it, you can tell they look into the Bible and they see the Bible the way God sees it. That's wisdom. Wisdom is someone that can take the things of life, they analyze it, and they see it the way God sees it. They're able to protect us and keep us safe and tell us some of the most practical things about life, though, that are so necessary for the preserving of our life. Wisdom is the ability to see life through the eyes of God. Let me tell you something, folks. If you're living your life without wisdom, you're having a tough time. You see, God wants you to see life His way. And if you're not seeing it His way, you're not going His way. You're not taking His path. You're not walking the path where there is preservation. You need wisdom. I'll tell you what I think the great need of parents is. Wisdom. You parents ought to beg God for wisdom to rear your sons, to rear your daughters. You don't need to watch the talk shows on television to get somebody to advise you about rearing your kids. You better talk to God and say, God, give me your wisdom. I want to see life the way you see it. I want to rear my kids the way you see they ought to be reared. Let me tell you what churches need today. They need the wisdom of God. Let me tell you what pastors need. They need the wisdom of God. Let me tell you what pastoral staffs need more than anything else. They need the wisdom of God in their life. Every teacher that teaches in a Christian school anywhere in this nation, they ought to beg God daily for the wisdom to teach their classes and treat their students the way God would want them treated. Every leader that leads God's people, they need wisdom. Let me tell you what your marriage needs. Let me tell you why some of you are having such a tough time and you can't get things worked out because there is an absence of a precious thing in your marriage. It's wisdom. There are husbands, you need the wisdom of God in your life. There are wives that need the wisdom of God in your life. There are parents that need the wisdom of God. We need wisdom because wisdom is the principal thing. You teenagers in here, let me tell you what you need. You young people, if you don't want your life soiled, if you don't want your life messed up, at your age, they say, well, Brother Owens, I'm only 13 years old. 13-year-old young man, 13-year-old young lady. Let me give you the best advice I could give you. You decide you want wisdom because wisdom will give you insight in life. It'll help you to see the path that God wants you to take. You say, well, Brother Owens, I never worry about this. Let me ask you, how much chaos is there in your life? How much confusion is there in your life? How much difficulty is there? Now, we're all going to have difficulty, but let me tell you something. Wisdom will help you to bypass a whole lot of problems. I constantly beg God for wisdom in my church. I constantly ask God to help me to troubleshoot problems. I look out onto the horizon and I say, God, now, I need your help. I see something brewing on the horizon. I want to take care of it. I don't want that to become a problem. I don't want that to hurt the revival. I don't want that to hurt the people. I don't want that to hurt the spirit of my church. I don't want that to quench the Holy Spirit of God in my church. Oh, God, give me insight. Give me wisdom. Help me to stop the devil before he ever gets here. You say, why have we had such a wonderful 3 years of revival and it keeps growing and mounting and mounting and God keeps blessing? Because somebody's looking out into the path of what's coming and saying, look at that. We've got to be careful of that. That's called wisdom. It's called wisdom. You teenagers, you need the wisdom of God in your life. You say, why? Well, let me tell you something. There are some wonderful bonuses that are available to you if you get this thing called wisdom, because wisdom is the principal thing. It's the center of the bullseye. It's the meat. It's not the dessert. It's the engine. It's not a piece of trim on a fender. Boy, this thing called wisdom, you need it. There are some wonderful things that you can get out of this thing called wisdom. For instance, you'll have a more enjoyable life if you'll get wisdom in your life. Proverbs 3:13 says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." You know, some of you are miserable. I'll tell you why. You don't have wisdom. Wisdom will give you a more enjoyable life. You'll be happier when you find the wise way of doing things. You're frustrated because you don't use wisdom to make your decisions. Your decision doesn't turn out right. You're throwing things on the ground. You're mad at everybody. Nothing ever goes your way. Had you just had wisdom when you made the decision, it would have turned out right, and then you wouldn't have to be so frustrated. But you make your decisions using your mind. You do things your way. You're not seeking the mind of God. You're not asking for the wisdom of God. You need to see your finances the way God sees it. I could help so much, so many of you take so much pressure out of your life if you'd just see your finances through the eyes of God. Stop seeing them your way. Did you know God cares more about you than you care about yourself? But the reason why you do what you do with your money is because you say, "Well, I care about me and I don't trust anybody." You better trust God. He's got more sense than you'll ever have about money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He owns the hills. And He owns the gold in the hills and the oil in the hills. Hey, you better see your mind the way that God sees it. You better watch the entertainments that you allow in your home and in your life. You better start seeing entertainment the way that God sees it. Or you're going to have a frustrated life. Proverbs 3:17 says, "Her ways," meaning wisdom, "are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace." Pleasantness? Peace? Happy is the man. This sounds good to me.
Yes, sir.
Sounds like something I want. You want happiness? You want pleasantness? You want peace? What are we looking for? Wisdom. Wisdom. Why are you miserable? Lack of wisdom. Why is your marriage miserable? You're not seeking the wisdom of God about your marriage. You're not. Hey, when was the last time you ladies spent any time in prayer saying, "God, give me wisdom about my husband. Give me wisdom about how to be the right kind of wife." You men, "God, give me wisdom about how to treat my wife. Give me wisdom about being a husband." Why are you a miserable leader? I'll tell you why. Lack of wisdom. Lack of wisdom. You lead in the flesh. Just do your own thing and then look back and say, "I can't believe I did that again. Oh, I can't believe I did that. Oh, I'm in trouble again. Oh, I got another mess on my hands. I'm miserable." Well, no wonder. You're doing it your own way. If you got insight into life by getting the wisdom of God, you would have pleasantness, you would have peace, you would have a joyful life. You take, for instance, last Wednesday night in church, I taught a lesson. I said, every person, before they ever get married, ought to be friends. You see, you ought to be a friend to the person that you're going to marry, or you shouldn't marry them. And then you add to that friendship a marital relationship. And you wouldn't believe how many people said, "I never thought about that." I wonder how many parents say, "I'm the parent," when they need to be a friend and a parent. And how many husbands say, "Well, I'm the husband," but they leave out being a friend of their wife. That's called wisdom. Seeing what God really wants in your marriage. Seeing what God really wants. You ought to be a friend to your son and a friend to your daughter. You ought to be a friend to your husband and a friend to your wife. Yes, you're the dad. Yes, you're the mom. Yes, you're the husband. Yes, you're the wife. But you are to be friends to them. We look into our lives, and why are we miserable? Because we don't have wisdom. Number one, you will have a more enjoyable life if you'll get wisdom, because happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Number two, you'll have more productive days if you'll get wisdom. More productive days. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:16, length of days is in her hand. Remember now, that is talking about wisdom. Length of days is in her hand, wisdom's hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. No wisdom? No productivity. A little wisdom, a little productivity. A lot of wisdom, a lot of productivity. That's how God works. The fuel that you need to catapult success in your life is the fuel of a thing called wisdom. Wisdom is what you're looking for. Wisdom will help you to make good decisions. Wisdom will give you a joyful life, and it will give you a productive life. Length of days is in her right hand. You know, you ever met someone that seems like they can get a whole lot more done than anybody else in life? Usually those are called wise people. Wise people. I think God is promising us 25 hours of production in a 24-hour period. How do you do that? Wisdom. God is a capable God. Did you know that God knows the shortcuts in life? You take the long cuts. You use your mind, which is pretty limited, if there's one there at all. You use your mind to make decisions, and you don't take the path that is most blessed. You use God's mind. He will save you time. You'll get more done in a day. You'll arrive at your destination before anybody else and have some time to spare for other things. You look at somebody with wisdom and you'll say, how do they get all that done? How in the world? How can they get all that done? They're not thinking with their mind. They're thinking with God's mind. They're thinking spiritually. They have the wisdom of God, and they get 25 hours worth of work out of a 24-hour day. You know what? If I were an employer, I want all my employees to have wisdom. Why? Go out, produce everybody in the place. I'd want my employees to know the Bible and know God, and I'd want them to get the wisdom of God. Why? To get the wisdom of God, they'll have a productive life. Length of days is in her right hand. What's it talking about? You seem to get more out of your day when you have wisdom. I believe in wisdom. What are we talking about? Accomplishments in life. If you get wisdom, you'll accomplish more. People that are not accomplishing anything with their life, they're very depressed about their life. I can help some of you. Go accomplish something. Go do something. Say, God, give me wisdom, and then go out and use it. Make something happen. You won't be as depressed. I think sometimes I watch pastors. And not to be critical, but let me teach you something. I'll watch pastors, and somehow they get the idea that the whole purpose is to go build let's build up everything around the church, but they forget about the people. I believe that my ultimate goal is to improve people, not improve the property. The only reason I'm improving the property is for the sake of the people. I'm not improving the property for the sake of the property. I'll travel, I'll get out there. There are men, they can hang drywall, they can build walls, they can do this, they can paint that. Never reach anybody. No people. Boy, they can hang drywall. Boy, they can paint. Well, Doc, put your paintbrush down and go find some people and improve them. I think we need to become addicted to excellence, not busyness. Addicted to actually accomplishing something. Somehow we think if we're just busy, we're accomplishing something. That's not that's not wisdom. Wisdom is not being busy. Wisdom is accomplishment. We think we're busy all day. Well, I'd hate to just sit and spin my tires all the time. I want to go somewhere. I don't want to live my life in a rut. Put me in a groove. Well, stay on track. And wisdom will give you a productive life and more productive day. Some of you mothers that are stressed all the time. You're housewives, you're mothers. I'm stressed, I can't take anymore. Get wisdom, it'll give you more time in a day to get done what you need to get done. You'll stop spinning your wheels so much. It's one of the elements that's missing at home for a housewife is wisdom. You need the wisdom of God to run your home. You leaders that are constantly stressed by the people around you, get the wisdom of God. You get some insight. You'll get some insight. You'll figure it out. Busy Christians must have wisdom, or they'll be overtaxed and overloaded. They won't be able to take their load. But if you get wisdom, you get more done in a day. God shows you the shortcuts to success, and there are not very many. But if you'll be able to think the way God thinks, you'll have more productive days. So this young man comes along and says, let me tell you some things that my dad told me. My dad told me to get wisdom. It's a principal thing. And don't forsake it. And love it. And want it. What do I get out of it? I get a more enjoyable life. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. I'll have more productive days. Length of days is in her right hand. Then I'll have a longer life. Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 10, it says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." It's talking about wisdom here. Wisdom is better for your health than vitamins. Wisdom will cause you to live longer than just exercise. Wisdom is better for you than physicals and being and eating right. God said, if you get wisdom, then I can help you to do all those other things. You know, you could eat right, not have wisdom, and die early. If you get wisdom, wisdom will help you to correct your eating so you live longer. Solomon was promised anything that he wanted. He said, I'll give you fame, I'll give you power, I'll give you anything you want. Solomon said, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Why? If you get wisdom, you can get everything else. Because wisdom is the engine that makes the whole car go up the road. Wisdom is the bullseye in that target. It is wisdom that's the meat of the seven-course meal. And you need to get wisdom. Wisdom will give you a longer life. It says, and the years of thy life shall be many. If you would like to prolong your actual life, then you need to get wisdom. You say, but Brother Owens, I know a man that was very wise and he died when he was 40. That means he probably should have died when he was 30 and God gave him 10 extra years. You know nothing about the date of one's death, but I can tell you this, if God promises wisdom and longer days because of it, He's going to give it. And if that was a wise man, his life would already be extended. He probably died when he was already living on borrowed or earned time due to his investment or reception of the thing called wisdom. You know what I think? I think your date of death is fluctuating constantly. Say, how do you figure? Based on wisdom. Every time you get a little more wisdom, I think God prolongs your life. Every time you reject that, I think God shortens your life. So I don't know when you're going to die, but I'll tell you this. Those of you who would like to live longer, pay attention during the preaching. You teenagers, don't talk during the preaching. Don't skip out of church. You are determining the day of your death. The Bible teaches us that He will give you long life if you get wisdom. So the opposite must be true. If you reject wisdom or you don't get it, you're probably going to die sooner because length of life was available to you by getting it. Where are you going to get it? Well, you're going to get it at church. Prolong life. Hey, I think God could prolong the life of your marriage. How? Get wisdom. I think God could prolong the life of your ministry. How? Get wisdom. I think God could prolong the life of your business. How? Get wisdom. Did you know that sin is a form of suicide? Just killing yourself with a slow death. Godliness is a form of longevity of life. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Young people, you want to live a long time? Stop sassing your mom and dad. Stop lying to your mom and dad. Every time you lie to mom and dad, every time you're rude to mom and dad, every time you hurt mom and dad, every time you do wrong to mom and dad, you have shortened your life. You'd be good to mom and dad. It'd prolong your life. You have the opportunity to live longer that way. This young man comes along and says, let me tell you what my dad said. My dad said the principal thing, I've got to get wisdom. And I'll get a more enjoyable life. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. I'll have more productive days. In her left hand are riches and honor, but length of days is in her right hand. I'll have a longer life. And the years of thy life shall be many. You'll have increased influence if you get wisdom. Proverbs 3:35 says, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. That word glory there, I've studied it. It's not talking about, you know, the glory of getting a touchdown and, you know, spiking the ball and everybody cheering for you. It's talking about influence. It says the wise shall inherit glory, or it means they will be exalted and they'll have influence because of that exaltation. Do you know if you'll get wisdom, you'll have influence? Probably the most powerful thing in the human race is the power of influence. Influence. If you'll get wisdom, you can have influence. What kind of influence, Brother Owens? You can have influence with the lost. Wisdom. You can get more people saved. Some of you soul winners say, Brother Owens, I'd like to get some people saved. I'd like to be able to witness some people and get them saved. Beg God for wisdom in your soul winning. How would you like to have more influence with your wife, husband? Some of you husbands say, I'd like for my wife to be submissive. I wish my wife would listen to me more. Beg God for wisdom. Wisdom will give you influence. Some of you wives say, but Owens, I would like a little more influence with my husband. I'd really like to have that. Let me tell you what you do. Beg God for wisdom in your relationship. She said, Brother Owens, I want influence over my children. Why can't I seem to get my teenage son or teenage daughter in line? Let me tell you what you need. You need wisdom, because wisdom will increase your influence. It increases your glory. He said, Brother Owens, I got a Sunday school class and I'm having a hard time controlling them. Let me tell you what you need to beg God for. Two things. Beg God for wisdom to increase your influence, and get a big stick. Lord, I want to influence my family more. Beg God for wisdom, because the Bible says the wise shall inherit glory. For those, I want to influence with Christians around me. Beg God for wisdom, because it is wisdom that attracts people. People respect wisdom. People are honored as they look up at someone that has the wisdom of God on their life. I want influence with my followers, and you beg God for wisdom. I'll tell you something, some of you need to beg God for wisdom with your enemies. I'm constantly asking God to know, teach me to have the wisdom to know how to deal with my enemies. You ever heard someone say, keep your friends close to you, but keep your enemies closer? Some of you need wisdom with your enemies. You get an enemy and you don't know how to deal with it. Before long, it's complicated and it's worse and worse and worse and worse. Before long, it's violent and vicious and nasty and evil. Boy, you need to get some wisdom. You need the wisdom of God so that you might get some influence even over your enemies. You need wisdom. If you're here today and you stand before young people, whether it's teenagers or children, let me tell you something. If you want true influence in their life, you're going to have wisdom. The less influence you have is a result of less wisdom in your life. Say, so where in the world do we get this wisdom from, Brother Owens? Let me tell you. You're going to get wisdom from a book. The author is God. You hold in your hand this evening, if you've got a King James Bible, the book written by God. The only one written by God, right there, that book right there, that's the book of wisdom. Well, you got to get in that book, and you got to read that book, and you got to memorize that book, and you need to listen to that book on tape and on CD, and every chance you get to hear it preached, you get around that book. Why? I am offering you longer life and productive days and a happy, pleasant, peaceful life. I'm offering you influence over the people that God wants you to influence. Well, how am I going to get it? You get it from a book called the Bible. You don't read it, you don't get wisdom. You don't go. Hey, if you don't go to church to hear it preached, you're rejecting that much wisdom. Every time you miss a sermon preached in this pulpit, you have missed that much wisdom in your life. There'll be that less joy in your life, that much less influence in your life, that much less pleasantness in your life, that much less of whatever the quality is that wisdom provides. Where do you get it from? The Word of God. Where else do you get it? The Bible says, well, it says here in Proverbs 4:4, He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. There it is. The Word of God is that gives wisdom. But secondly, where do you get wisdom? You get it from other wise men. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Let me tell you maybe the best thing that ever happened in my life. I do not know how God has allowed it, but for some reason, God has allowed me to be around, I think, the wisest people on the earth. And I'm not exaggerating. I have been around some of the wisest gray-haired men that ever walked this earth. I have spent hours upon hours and years, and I have no exaggeration, with men like Jack Hiles or Lee Robertson, Bob Bray or Tom Malone. I've been with my dad, Dr. Wendell Evans, who will be here in just a few weeks. A veteran missionary by the name of Maurice Paulson that I spent hours and hours with. Tom Williams, Russell Anderson. I could go on. I have had the privilege of being around a bunch of very wise people. The Bible says, He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now you tell me who you spend your time with. In regard to the music you listen to, you're spending time with those musicians. In regard to what you watch on the television, you're spending time with those people. In regard to the books that you read, you're spending time with those people. Who do you spend all your time with? The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. I'll tell you something. If I were a teenager, I'd want to find the wisest teenagers in the youth department. That's who I'd want to spend my time with. I want to be around them. If I was a young person, I'd find somebody that's a little older than me, and I'd want to spend some time with them. I want to be around the wise people. Why? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. You can get wisdom from this book. You can get wisdom from people that have gotten wisdom from this book. They can teach you the wisdom that God's given them. You can get wisdom in soul winning. Soul winning. Yeah, let's close that door. We want to always keep all the doors of the auditorium closed. Soul winning. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, look right this way, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. You get wisdom from soul winning. So you know, soul winning, that means going out and telling others about Jesus Christ. You get wisdom from soul winning. Why? Because wisdom is people work, and God loves people. And when you're out there doing people work, you'll gain some wisdom about how to get along with people. So you can get wisdom from soul winning, and you can get wisdom for your soul winning, because God looks down and says, when you care so much about other people that you're trying to keep them out of hell, you're going to get some bonus out of me. I'm going to bless you in a certain way. God looks down and he says, I will honor you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to meet your needs in a special way, because when you care so much about others, you're willing to face the embarrassment of telling them about Jesus or whatever the sacrifice is. He says, you will be rewarded. And one of the greatest rewards that a man could be given from God is the wisdom of God. When things are tough around the church, when I've got a lot of decisions to make, when it's all piling in on me, let me tell you what I always do. I think I need to go soul winning. Why? Because I know if I'll go soul winning, God will honor it and give me extra wisdom. When I have big decisions to make that could alter the course of our church, which could alter the course of many, many things, I say to myself, I'm going to go out and win someone to Christ. I'll immediately turn to the Lord and I'll say, Lord, I won someone. I need some extra wisdom down at the church. I think God says, I'll honor your soul winning efforts, because the Bible says the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Soul winning will add to your wisdom. You'll get it from soul winning, and you'll get it for your soul winning. And then finally, not only do you get wisdom from the Word of God, not only do you get wisdom from other wise people, not only do you get wisdom from soul winning, you get wisdom from the reproofs of life. This is not my favorite way to get wisdom. I would rather not get wisdom this way. The reproofs of life. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Owens? I'm talking about the hardships of life. Let me read to you from Proverbs. The Bible tells us the hardships of life will give us wisdom. Proverbs chapter 15. Let me turn to it here real quickly. Proverbs 15, verse number 31. The Bible says this. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. You know what the Bible's saying here? It said, you can get wisdom if you will allow the reproofs of life to guide you. You say, what does that mean? When you do wrong and life corrects you by pain or discomfort or problems, if you'd let it, that discomfort would correct you and you could have wisdom about that issue from here on out. The saddest thing that happens to me as a pastor is I watch people make the same mistakes over and over and over and over again. It just breaks my heart. Boy, if there's one thing, Brother Williamson, I don't want to do, I don't want to make some stupid mistake today and turn around and make it next week again. Would to God that all of us, when we make a mistake and we suffer some affliction because of it, we'd wake up and say, I don't think I'll do that again. It didn't take much brilliance to learn from your mistakes. But for some reason, we don't want to do that. You can get wisdom from God by the reproofs of life. God has built into life a discipline system. It's a guiding system. When you get off track, He'll slap your hand. You ought to immediately say, I'm off track. I'll get on track. And now I've got wisdom. I've got insight into this thing. I was going the wrong way. Now I'm going the right way. I'll fix this thing. The reason many of your lives they're so full of chaos is because every time the reproof of life comes, you don't learn from it. You just turn it. You go down another path God doesn't want you to go down. You repetitively get out of church, repetitively give up your prayer life, repetitively don't read your Bible, repetitively reject the preaching, so you repetitively go backwards in life. You say, I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. When you're reproved by God in life, stop, wake up, get wisdom, turn around, go the right direction, and never make that mistake again. We can get wisdom. We can get it from the Word of God. We can get it from other wise men. We can get wisdom from our soul winning. We can get wisdom from the reproofs of life. A young man says, my dad told me, get wisdom. And don't forsake it once you get it. And it will preserve you and it will keep you. And I'm to love wisdom. My dad told me wisdom was the principal thing. It was the center of the bullseye. I've got to get wisdom. My dad told me if I'd get wisdom, I'd have a more enjoyable life. I'd have longer days. I'd have a longer life. I'd have more influence. My dad told me I could get the Word of God. I could get wisdom from the Word of God. I could get it from other wise people. I could get it from my soul winning. I could get it from the mistakes I've made in life. I hope this young man, when his dad taught him this, said, you know what? I'm doing it. I am going to get the wisdom of God in my life. How would you like to work some of the chaos out of your family? How'd you like to work some of the chaos out of your mind and out of your heart and out of your life? Look, if you can see life the way God sees it, think of how many mistakes you won't make. Think of how many bad decisions you will never make. But see, we want to make our decisions our way. But if you got wisdom, you'd make them His way. His way is always the best way. And there are a lot of bonuses that go along with it. If you're not saved tonight, if I were you, I'd get saved. You say, why? It's a wise thing to do. You have a more enjoyable life. You have longer days. You have a more productive life. You have increased influence. The wise thing to do is to get born again. If you're not right with God, can I tell you what you ought to do tonight? The wise thing is to get right with God. Do what God would have you to do. If you get the wisdom of God, you'll know what that is. This old book will lead you. The Holy Spirit will lead you. The preaching will lead you. Wisdom. It's the principal thing. Do you love it? Do you seek it? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.